All right, well, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Let's hit that intro.
You're jamming with the hottest disc jockey.
Holy smokes, everybody.
That sound can only mean one thing. It is beer, buds, banter. We're coming at you live from, I guess,
Pro Bowl weekend.
Pro Bowl weekend.
Yes, it's the Pro Bowl weekend in Las Vegas. That's happening, but NFL is like the last thing we're going to talk about today, so we'll let that go.
I welcome all of you that have gotten through this NFL season. Unfortunately, we are down to the last game, and like Kamikaze did already say, we will touch base on that momentarily. If we have not caught you up, let's catch you up on the latest in sporting news. Kamikaze?
All right, first let's introduce ourselves. My name is Dre Kamikaze.
And I am Pat Wick.
Yeah, my tag team host here, and this is the Beer Buds Banter, and we are ready to rock, Beer Buds. So, first thing first is this Major League Baseball thing. And it's, this has had to be at the top of my list of things to talk about as soon as we got back behind these mics, because when I read that the delay or, you know, a postponed season is going to be inevitable, my heart dropped. You know, because here lately I've been becoming much more of a fan of the game of baseball and not just rooting for a team just for the hell of it, you know, and it's kind of sucking that I'm having to go through this all fucking ready. This is the type of stuff that, you know, you go years and years, you watch the sport, and then something like this shit happens.
Well,
like my second year, like getting geared up, ready in the off season to watch some baseball, and we gotta go through this bullshit.
You're going through what a lot of us went through early on in the love of baseball. Is you grow up maybe not appreciating it, but then you appreciate it for what it is, and it's a machine of works, as we can say. You know, your spring training, your minor league feeds into your major league, your coaches, yada yada. But what Kamikaze is saying is that, you know, we're sports fans. We're geared up,
right,
for, you know, once a sport is resolving, which is football here shortly, you know, we're looking forward to our spring training, what our prospects are going to be, what they're going to play
exactly.
Like. And we're not going to be able to see that because of...
There's been nothing going on in that aspect of the game for us. No regular off-season stuff. No, like, baseball is basically shut down right now. You feel me? So, like, as far as scouting and seeing who's going to be next,
shut down.
All of that is shut down. So, like, what? I don't know. I don't know what baseball problem is. First,
it's greed, Kamikaze. It's greed. You know, they've been able to hash out these little insignificant things. I don't know if we talked about last time how they've introduced the robot umpire into now AAA of some affiliates in minor league systems, so we'll be seeing that shortly. And they've touched on, it's kind of like you're in a fight with your well, none of us are divorced. So if you were in a fight with your divorcee, and you're touching on every little bitty topic that's the problem, but we're not hitting the big topic, Kamikaze,
right,
which is money. And it seems like whenever we get to this point, it's never about, you know, what type of message we want to send, what kind of environment we want to send. It's always about money. And what I've heard, Kamikaze, is that the players' union wants the younger players that perform better than what they've been or what they're proceeded to perform as, Kamikaze. They want ample, money going their way if they reach and break what they're trying, you know, as far as if they reach a goal and they, you know, surpass the goal, Kamikaze, it's not amongst us in the workforce to get a little bit of a bonus.
Right.
And, you know, the top players, your Mike Trouts, you know, those type of players, they're going to get their money because they're the face of MLB.
And it's written in their contract.
And it's written in their contract. But when you get a guy that either pitches out of his mind or hits out of his mind or plays out of his mind, you know, arbitrarily, they kind of figure it out, but it never equates to a lie. A lot of these young kids play out of their skulls, and they're looking at $2 million maybe in bonuses if they've played well. You know, where guys like that, veterans that have been there and done their deal, but maybe this is a, you know, wait and see type of thing because, you know, a lot of veterans did start out that way.
Right.
But a lot of veterans didn't play as some of these players have been performing lately, especially younger, before they hit their major league contract.
Yeah, and this is coming on the heels of a year where, you know, some guys that were very Hall of Fame worthy missed out on that last year of eligibility because of a...
That kamikaze, that's a
steroid outbreak.
That is a great point. Baseball needs to absorb what they've done. NFL, to a certain degree, has absorbed the fact that they are in a concussion overhaul, necessarily. You know, they've every year they're doing new things. They're right. trying their best. Baseball, it seems like they want to keep the money where the money is, and that's with the owners. Except for the rare player or players that equate to large amounts. We had a Mookie Betts on our Red Sox team.
Missed that kid.
Obviously, he acquired a $300 million contract from the Dodgers. We felt that he wasn't deserving of that contract. The Dodgers
don't pay that kind of money,
right?
And that's all the bull. It's not even whether or not he deserved it, because if you look at the type of players that are getting that type of money, Mookie definitely deserves it. Mookie but the Red does. Sox just don't pay that kind of money to them players. You feel me? So
right there, we're dealing with two things as well. We're dealing with big markets, your New York's, your California's, your Texas's, dealing with smaller markets. Now, obviously, there has been a TV restriction to where now teams are getting better deals from TV. Rays being one of the teams that kind of sweltered in on an 8 to 7 year deal with their affiliate here, Fox Sports or Sunshine Sports or whatever that might be. To where they were making pennies on the dollar kamikaze on their TV rights. Now being brand new contract, we're going to see that better. But what's going to fix this kamikaze? Do you see what's going to? I mean, it's obviously getting both sides of the table. It's obviously coming up with some type of restructuring on how they arbitrate younger players. Hey,
you know what's going to what has to happen? The owners has to lose some money. Once they start losing money, they'll have some urgency, and they'll get back to playing baseball.
But who suffers there, kamikaze? The fans.
Everybody. The owners are going to end up suffering because they're going to be out of money. The players are going to be suffering because if you ain't playing, you ain't getting no salary. And then the fans suffer because we don't get to watch baseball.
But, I mean, aren't the owners somewhat insured on some of these things like this, kamikaze, where if A, B, or C happens, they are covered?
Yeah, but when there's no revenue coming in? Because without games, there's no revenue.
And I understand.
So without no revenue coming in, the owners still are going to be missing money. If you're not, you don't have fans in the stadium, all of that concession money, you know, all the merch money, different things like that, all of that stuff goes out the window. Now, you know, us, we'll still buy our fucking shit if we see something we like, you know, but that's online, you know. They now they only getting a portion of
the percentage, sale, absolutely.
Versus, you know, whatever they would have gotten if they'd have sold it inside of the stadium. So.
Do organizations need to look at the bigger picture where you're seeing a lot more teams spend money, but does there need to be a cap? Because teams, you know, teams are looking at, you know, guys like a Mike Trout and other players and other, you know, your Patrick Mahomes, where you're financing $500 million to $300 million contracts over so many years. Now, obviously, if that's a 60 to even 50% of your free agency budget or your acquisition budget, then you've got a problem with who else you're going to bring in.
Exactly.
What
the cap does is it helps with competitive advantage. You know, bigger markets are going to be able to pay players more without a cap. And that they're always going to just be better. You know, with the salary cap, you create competitive balance where I can only pay a certain amount of players this amount of money. I have to be wiser about how I distribute these funds. You know, so maybe I can't offer you a $300 million contract, But it's not because I don't think you're worth it. It's because I'm up against the cap. So all that does is really give the owners an excuse to pay you less. But at the end of the day, it helps competitive advantage.
And that's why he's a GOAT, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I hate to bring up any of our in-house rivalries with our AL East opponents, but the Rays, as of 2008, have seen success, sometimes mildly, sometimes greatly, in the way they run things. Now, they are a small market. They mm-hmm. don't have big dollars. They can't acquire
They do a lot of their work talent. Through the draft. But what they do really well is draft pitchers. And when you draft pitchers, bro, like, they've been drafting pitchers great. It will get them through their farm system. However, they've been getting them in the door. They've been getting a lot of good pitchers in the door lately. And when you got good pitching, bro, you're going to win a lot of games.
And then that's my point. Should the should MLB look at an organization like the Rays and say, when you have a Yankees or a Dodgers or, you know, said opponent that says, no, we need this. Well, no, you don't. You have the Rays as an example. They've been to a World Series in the last 2 years. They've mm-hmm. been to the playoffs the last 4 years. Yep. You know, they went to a World Series. They
by us last year.
Right.
But, I mean, that's hitting neither here or there.
But, I mean, they're a gleaming example, Kamikaze, of the way MLB should be worked out. I mean, obviously, we're not trying to take away any money from the players, period. But a better structuring of money could help.
How guys get paid, yeah. You know, protecting competitive advantages, I'm down with that, you know. I mean, we're one of the bigger markets. We just don't pay players. You feel me? So we can be one of these powerhouse teams that's over here just throwing money around. You know, Red Sox got money. They got it to throw around. You feel me? Motherfucking people that own the team own fucking some basketball teams. They own some fucking, probably a portion of some NFL teams too. So they got money.
Now,
we just don't throw it around.
Now, at this point, like you said, Kamikaze, we're going in, we're into February, which pitchers and catchers should have reported by at this point. What are we, or if, are we going to see any baseball? Or are we going to see anything?
Do I think we're going to see baseball? I'm confident that baseball will happen. And I'm only confident because I just know that these rich people don't want to lose their money. Somebody going to crack.
Now, the benefit, of obviously,
it won't be the players.
Of baseball contracts is that they are guaranteed as well, much like basketball is. So their money will come. But
they got to play to get paid.
Does it seem to you, Kamikaze, that every 3 to 2 to 4 years we're coming upon this conversation yeah. with the players' union and management as far as how do we resolve? And it doesn't seem like anybody else is really that's happening to. I mean, NBA, there's some flirting going around, but they seem to figure things out.
The NBA is probably the front office of the NFL. I mean, of the NBA, it's probably the best in sports.
Well, I mean, they're always in front of everything.
Adam Silver as a commissioner is the best commissioner in sports today.
And they're always in front of everything, right?
Right.
When it comes always, to dress code, bro, how players...
If a player speaks out on something, it gets brought to the table immediately. It gets resolved in a civil way, whether which way you agree or disagree of how it should be resolved, it gets resolved. They go back to playing basketball. Nobody misses time for no bullshit, nothing like that. You know, whatever they're doing over there and with the NBA's leadership, you know, that shit needs to trickle down to some other sport. Because the NFL has problems when it comes to collective bargaining agreements too. You know, they're always down to the wire with agreements and stuff like that. We're almost on the verge of a lockout. And we've had a lockout in the NFL before, so
absolutely.
Yeah, you know, the NBA, it just don't happen. But
with MLB, it's such an old game, Kamikaze. With NFL, and I'm not necessarily NBA, but NFL being the newer. You know, hockey being around for a while, it just seems like baseball to me, Kamikaze, they run into this problem every so many years, and it never seems to, like, you know, get figured out. It gets figured out for the moment.
It's leadership, bro.
And then all of a sudden, it's not figured out for a while. You brought up briefly steroids and players not getting in. Baseball, like I said, needs to absorb some of that history and just accept it. This was part of our game.
And they saved the game.
And because, it saved the game because, you know, as they say, chicks love the long ball. And for a while there, after the 94 strike, they were not getting those fans back. And the fans, I mean, they got cheated. They got cheated. So, you know, this is another thing that MLB needs to come up with. You have two great Hall of Famers in Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds and Pete Rose that should be been in the baseball. Mm-hmm. And they are a piece of Americana when it comes to baseball. You know, Pete Rose isn't in trouble for things he did on the baseball field. It's something he did while coaching. You can take him out of the conversation for, you know, coach for the Hall of Fame.
Speaking of
baseball, but as a player, you cannot keep him out.
Speaking of baseball, my boy Chris Lupton, shout out to Lupton Sports.
Lupton Sports
is going to have Jose Canseco in for an autograph sign.
Nice, Jose Canseco, beloved Cuban.
Yeah.
Very much the, I wouldn't say the reason for steroids, but the popularity maybe.
I mean, we was on the topic and I thought about him, so there's a reason for that.
you want to talk about the holy grail one for my two brothers? Was Jose Canseco? Was Jose? It was a Cuban American playing baseball, being yoked, and just
cranking shit.
Just killing it.
Cranking shit.
Yeah, I mean,
great baseball player. I don't care if he did steroids.
Good for our friends there. I hope that's a successful signing. Yeah, Jose Canseco.
I'm gonna try to like hop in one of his little raffles that he do for some of that. See if we can grab something.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Great way to mention that.
Yeah.
Here in my garage, just bought the
wrong button again.
All right.
So we've touched on baseball.
Yeah, and we gave that a lot of discussion here, and the discussion isn't here to complain. All we're saying is basically we want baseball. So whatever needs to get done to give the fans baseball, let's try to get it done.
I mean, Kamikaze, I need it.
Yeah.
How am I gonna get through the summer?
That's what I'm saying, bro.
Once NBA's over, I got baseball, and you know whatever free agency comes in July. You know, and that's it. You know, so don't take away what I got, buddy.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to give me a lot of, 30 for 30s or Masked Singer or maybe a new snowfall season.
That would be dope.
That would be fantastic.
I missed that. That's funny. Yeah, Snowfall. That's my shit.
Snowfall. Fantastic show. If you haven't seen it on FX, great watch.
Great watch. Yes. You can catch it on Hulu if you missed out on some of those seasons, too.
I promise you, you will sleep like a baby.
Sleep like a baby.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So from greed in the MLB to racism in the NFL. All right. I guess I'll take the lead on this one. I'm usually a little iffy about allowing these types of topics in our agenda. You know, I usually try to stay away from the stuff that talks about racism, sexism, and you know, all of the isms and shit like that. But this one,
is it history making?
This one is going to be history making because like people think that. Because it's based off, like a lot of it is based off a text message, it has no weight, but that tells you everything you need to know about what goes on behind the scenes. That tells you, because Bill Belichick saw that O'Brien that works with him got hired to be a head coach, and he instantly went to the Brian that he thought was most deserving and sent him a text message and congratulating him. Guy hadn't even had an interview yet. Dude, Giants had already made that decision, but was still planning on interviewing Brian Flores because he's black. You know, you got to comply with the Rooney Rule. But they had already made their decisions that it had been circling in-house that it got to Bill Belichick before Brian Flores even had his interview.
Challenge accepted.
All right, Kamikaze. This is a wake-up call for the NFL. 75% of your clients are African-American. That's not including coaches. kamikaze. That's
the not position, the training staff,
position,
not the referees.
Right. Not to mention quite a bit, a few black referees.
Oh, it's kamikaze. A bunch of them.
So for them not to have representation,
just saying.
Put it out there. NFL? Did you hear that, NFL? Kamikaze wants to be a referee. The guy knows it.
I do.
But this is a wake up call to the NFL, and congratulations and for the bravery of one Brian Flores to be the one to say it. I think it should have been said a lot sooner, but the NFL has a ways of blackballing you, a la Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
When a message or a statement is getting absorbed by the NFL that greatly, it was nipped in the
butt.
That
also is what makes this so groundbreaking, because this comes on the heels of Colin Kaepernick speaking out against, you know, something that had nothing to do with the NFL.
And I don't want to get
comical with this. You feel
me?
And getting blackballed. And now this is calling out the NFL in-house after what just happened this year with Gruden. And you feel me? You know, I love Gruden. I don't think Gruden racist at all. You feel me? I don't.
I think Gruden is a realist.
Yeah, and I think Gruden say things the way he thinks it and don't clean it up. You feel me? And that's, you know, a bit of a fault of his own. I have that same kind of fault. So I kind of get what got Gruden in trouble. But I don't think Gruden's racist, sexist, or, you feel me, misogynistic, none of that shit. But on the heels of that stuff coming out, and then you got this coming after this man is fired, you feel me? Which, when he got fired, we did a show after that. And what the fuck did I do? I said, yo, that blew my mind. How did you fire him? He was a good coach.
Was giving you production every year, was building something. Obviously, when he came in,
they didn't want to win. Well, he wanted to tank.
This goes back to locker room talk, and I get it. We all need to be somewhat politically correct. But in a locker room setting, and this goes for girls or females as well as males, there's a certain chatter, there's a certain dialogue that gets spoken to and spoken about. And it's John Gruden's a locker room guy.
Yeah.
You know, so back to the Hugh Jackson, Brian Flores thing, you're looking at these guys and they're saying what so many people have almost thought. I thought specifically the Rooney Rule was a scapegoat.
Yeah.
I thought you're setting a parameter of how many minority coaches I can interview.
Well,
and
I think the NFL made it a scapegoat. I think the intention of the rule, was good. Because the intent of the rule was to create guys like Mike Tomlin.
Yes.
That's why it's called the Rooney Rule. You feel me? That in itself is different than what it's become. What it's become is a scapegoat.
It's a joke.
It's an excuse.
Absolutely.
You feel me? To say, oh, well, we've interviewed black guys.
Which have we?
Black women. Right. And they're not qualified enough, but like we just mentioned, Giants hired their white coach
before they even gave Brian Flores an honest and truthful opportunity at giving his spiel on how he would make the Giants better. Exactly. And this is something the NFL has to clean up, Kamikaze, fast. Because what you've got here is you have a plantation setting. You have a white master in your owners. You have a...
Right, the fact that they're called owners, like, that right there in itself is telling you a story. Like,
it's painting a picture,
Kamikaze. Read the book.
Now, granted, these guys make tons of money, and I get it, but their lifespan is, in effect, it's shortened by the relationship of what they do on the playing field and what happens to their bodies during that period. I mean, I get it. It's a lot of money. And these guys, they shouldn't be complaining. But when it comes to who is representing them, who is talking to them, who is dialoguing them with when it comes to plays, there should be equal opportunity, Kamikaze. And I'm just not seeing it. And I'm saddened by Hugh Jackson late coming out, because he was a guy that probably should have said something, first of all. Yeah. And the fact that owners are willing to pay head coaches to quote unquote lax themselves for draft picks, Kamikaze, for draft picks.
Yeah.
That is sickening. That is sad. And the NFL should get slapped in the face.
And I will say that Hugh Jackson said did come out and say that he wasn't paid to lose any game. So I don't know, like, how he ended up getting roped into this. Besides being one of those black coaches, Hugh Jackson to me wasn't a really great coach. I haven't seen Hugh Jackson do anything as a head coach that would make me want my team to hire him. Okay. I've seen him coach the Raiders. I've seen him coach the Browns. I've seen him coach a little bit with the Bengals, but not as a head coach.
Okay.
You feel me? So I don't really see anything as far as Hugh Jackson's coaching that would make me want to go out and hire him. I mean, so the only thing that I can suggest is him being in this story is that, you know, he's black and he was a head coach and it didn't work out for him.
You know? Well, I mean, maybe he's just another name to throw on the pile. Right. But
I did see him talking about it on one of these shows, these morning shows this week. So, I mean, he's involved in some kind of way in the story. So, I just don't, you know, when we're talking about head coaches, black head coaches deserving of jobs, Brian Flores is one of those. Hugh Jackson, to me, is not.
Well, we'll see going into it. Obviously, you know, we've seen two coaches come out and comment about it. Hopefully, we'll see more. Right now, Hugh Jackson's on a Arizona State staff,
right.
I believe, which is coached by an African American former head coach, Herm Edwards.
Yeah,
and as well as Marvin Lewis there.
Yeah. Speaking of Marvin Lewis, I was just thinking about him while you was talking. I'm glad you mentioned him.
All right,
because like that's another story. Like. So it's part. We might as well just drop this bomb right now, because like everything I'm about to say is going to be like into that bomb. Because there's an ESPN reporter who used to work closely with the Ravens, still works closely with the Ravens. Every story that comes out of ESPN about the Ravens is usually from him, Jameson motherfucking Hemsley.
Okay,
this motherfucker. First, let me say.
All right.
I've spent years defending this man.
Okay.
When players would call him out for being a bad reporter, misrepresenting shit and shit like that, fans call him. I'm like, no, Jameson a good guy. All this boy, whoop-de-whoop. No, when Matthew Judon called this motherfucker out, I should have known better, bro. I should have fucking known better, but I still defended his dumbass. All right. So here's my gripe with you. There's an ESPN article. So I think that was Friday, right?
All
right. When the story broke that Ravens president Dick Cass is going to retire.
I heard that. Yes.
Former Browns executive, now current Ravens executive Sashi Brown is going to take over. Jameson Hensley's words. I'm going to read them direct, so you know I don't miss nothing. Cause you know you motherfuckers like to call me out on Twitter. So let me read this shit to be exact. Sashi Brown is leaving Monumental Sports and the NBA's Washington Wizards to return to the NFL as an executive with the Baltimore Ravens. Sources told ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski and Adam Schefter. This is Jameson Hensley's story. They're just mentioned.
Okay. All right.
So I'm just saying that. On Friday, the Ravens haven't announced the news, but teams official Evan Kern, the hiring two ESPN. Brown had just been promoted to president and special advisor to Monumental Sports chairman Ted, whatever bro last name is, elected. The hiring of Brown, who is black, comes amid increased scrutiny of NFL diversity hiring practices, followed by a former Miami Dolphins coach, Brian Flores, earlier this week.
All right.
That statement to me reads, the Ravens hired Sashi Brown because he's black. If that's what that statement is saying, that statement is so untrue. Bro, Ozzie was our GM from inception up until 3 years ago.
Absolutely.
It's a black man, bro.
Right.
Fucking Mike Tomlin with Pittsburgh. Black man, been there for over 10 years, bro. Fucking Marvin Lewis. Couldn't win a playoff game in Cincinnati. Kept him around forever, bro. The AFC North don't do that racist shit. We don't just hire people because they're black. We hire people because we like the way they do their job. Now, a lot of people, because the Browns, when Sashi worked for the Browns, a lot of people don't realize that Sashi is the reason that the Browns are what they are today.
Okay.
They had a collapse last year. Of course. Baker Mayfield was hurt.
Right.
Look what happened when Lamar got hurt.
Right.
Ravens collapsed.
Right.
You feel me? But up until that point, they were on a
They were on absolutely
upswing.
Absolutely, they
were. He put players in place there. He did all of those trades that got them all of those draft picks that we kept being like, damn, the Browns got three picks in the first round for like 3 years straight.
So let me get this straight. So you're saying the Sacha Brown story is really insignificant as far as any black hiring going on.
That's what I'm saying.
And maybe highlighted because it was a black associate that got hired, and that's right. Why it was highlighted. No significance as far as the importance of the hiring.
Yeah, nothing to do with him being black.
They made a point to point out that
it was... Well, Jameson did.
Right.
That's why this is fuck Jameson time. Because, like, and I'm furious about it because... Like, I try to give dude the benefit of the doubt. Jameson, like, all right, he's a good reporter. He know what he's doing. You feel me? Because he had a likable personality.
Okay.
You feel me? I even met the dude. Fucking likable guy. Nah. Fuck him, bro. Matthew Judon was right, bro. You're a snake in the fucking grass ass. I ain't gonna say a word he used, but yeah. That's what you is. Because that statement right there, that you're basically saying the Ravens only hired Sasha because he's black. No, we hired the man because he know how to work the fucking system. He knows analytics. He knows how to get you more draft capital. And you know one thing for sure, two things for certain. The Ravens going to have 10, 11 picks in the draft.
They always do, right?
Always do.
That's how they work.
And that's how we work. And he works the way we work. So why not bring him in?
Well,
I should do with the skin color.
The fact that they even need to popularize this move, because this is really an office move.
Right.
Am I right?
Right.
So really, why popularize it? I feel like the NFL's trying to get in front of it.
Eric DaCosta reports to. Eric DaCosta going to walk in there and be like, yo, this is what I'm doing. He's going to be like, all right, you know what you're doing. That's how our organization is ran. We don't have that monopoly where, oh, because I'm above you, I got to really sign off. No, bro, you do your job, I'm going to do my job.
Saying that going forward now, we have the Sasha Brown...
Yeah, I still don't like that.
On important news, right? It's important.
The way they talk about it, it's unimportant. But it's important to me because, you know, that's an executive change in my front office.
4 head coaching jobs left. Does the NFL run out and get ahead of this? And make those 4 jobs minority jobs. Already hearing whispers of our guy in Kansas City.
I feel like
getting a Saints.
Yeah, but
possibility.
I think that
look at over there.
I think that was already something that was going to be in the making. They just wanted him to be eliminated from the playoffs because you can't really talk to these coaches until after they're done. You can put in a request, but you can't talk to them. So. In order to not tip their hand, when they found out Sean Payton was retiring, because the second that happened, they were already like, oh, yeah.
Eric D'Animo all the way.
They put in a request to interview him. Like, they didn't wait, you feel me, you know, days and days and then put in a request there. Or they didn't wait till the guy they wanted was hired and then put in a request for him, you know, things like that. I think that, see, and one thing about New Orleans is, you know, that's a black community.
Yes.
You know, like, if any team is going to be willing to hire a black coach, it's probably going to be
and have already hired a black coach
right.
previously.
Yeah.
So, back to the point, we've seen Roger Goodell get out in front of major public criticized issues before. 4 vacancies open. How many of these vacancies, Kamikaze, will be minority filled?
What are the 4 vacancies?
We've got the Houston Texans. We've got the New Orleans. We've got the Raiders. Black. And we've got the
Raiders will probably be white.
And then I'm a little sketchy on the 4th one. Do we have a coach in Miami yet?
We do not have a coach in Miami.
So we've got 4 there. Giants have already filled theirs with what we talked about
Dwight
before.
Bryan. I hope Bill Belichick put in his phone White Brian, Black Brian, because he can't make that mistake again.
Well, I mean, glad that Brian did what he did. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be talking about a subject that needs to be talked about as far as minority candidates, not just black, Hispanic, and
but
possible,
I feel
whatever.
Like this is a conversation female. Every year. My boy Louis Riddick would be a great GM in the NFL. Has done ton of interviews. tons of interviews. Has not gotten a job. A lot of the stuff that this man says about the way the draft should fall, which player would fit here, which player would fit there. I look at this man, I'm like, man, that's off the wall. I never thought of that. And then it ends up working if the fucking team takes him.
Lewis Reddick has the unfortunate privilege of being a player, a former player, and now
a media
talent. He does Monday Night Football.
But he wants to be a GM.
No, and I'm not disagreeing with you as far as that, but then that just
Bucky Brooks should be a GM.
But that feeds into the narrative once again, is that minority players or minority candidates aren't getting the look at that people in the NFL need to, especially with a 75% African American workforce.
Because if I had a team, bro, I'd be calling like, yo, Lewis.
Probably something that Bucky, the union should have addressed a long time ago.
I mean, he ain't black, but even my boy Darren Jeremiah should be smart GM.
Okay,
you know, that's
all
my
right.
guy, though.
Okay.
All right. All right, I'm just putting my guys over there.
Now you're just reaching in a bag like, oh, yeah, I like this guy. Oh, yeah, I like this guy.
I'm just saying, if you need a GM, I'm giving you options. Make sure you pay me.
That was brought to you as Kamikaze's bomb today.
Yeah, and the title of that bomb is Fuck Jameson Hensley.
Well done. Well done. Well done, bomb.
Sorry.
I feel like you got that right on target.
I needed that.
You needed it, huh?
I needed it.
All right. Let's take a break.
Let's take a break. Jump into this Super Bowl topic. We just got some important information about the whole Flores versus the field discussion, and it's just a little meme, you know, guys pass around, they put up stats and stuff
still
like that.
Important.
So
still,
you know, it was interesting because I looked at it right after we went off for our little break, and it's relevant to what we were talking about, you know. And it says Flores versus the field. Coaches still employed in their records over the last 2 years. Brian Flores at 19-14.
All right, remember that.
John Harbaugh at 19-14.
John Harbaugh, which?
Super Bowl winning
right.
head coach.
In the last 2 years.
Well, okay. Not in the last 2 years, but.
No, I'm not, winning a Super Bowl.
Well,
but
yeah, that was the. These 19, are. Okay. Yeah, that's last 2 years. Okay. Last 2 years, right. Just the last 2 years, but yeah. Cliff Kingsbury, 19-14.
Okay.
Mike McCarthy, 18-15. Bill Belichick, greatest coach ever, 17-16.
All right.
Kyle Shanahan, 16-17.
Okay.
Zach Taylor, coaching in the Super Bowl next week, by the way.
By the way.
14-18-1. Ron Rivera, one of the greats, has coached in the Super Bowl. Played in the Super Bowl, too. 14-19.
Absolutely.
So, there you go. Brian Flores is a great head coach. He did a lot with a little bit. You can look at that Dolphins team and tell that they weren't really on paper ready to compete, but yet They were ready to compete. They won 8 straight at one point in this season.
I think,
and it started with beating the Baltimore Ravens, which at that time the Baltimore Ravens were at the peak of their powers this season.
And I think of what you look at as far as importance for an organization, they were able to beat a lot of their East opponents. You know, the Patriots.
Yeah, because the first thing you want to do is beat your division.
You want to beat your division, and they were competitive against the Bills.
Right,
and that's what you want. And if Brian Flores was giving you that, and we didn't...
Defense is playing out of their mind with no names. They lost their best player on defense and still was fucking playing great ball on defense.
Which goes, once again, into this conversation, is why Brian Flores is without a job right at this point.
You know, that should shock me.
I mean, because you're talking about a John Harbaugh team which had an MVP candidate 2 years prior.
Yep.
You're talking about a Ron Rivera, which is gone to Washington, and they haven't necessarily stunk the house up. They've been somewhat competitive at certain aspects. And Cliff Kingsbury and Arizona, you know, there's a guy that had a lot of promise.
Had a lot of weapons.
And
an MVP candidate. At this point, it's perennial for Kyler Murray.
I mean, it's
every year we're talking about him possibly being
MVP. I mean, there was a 6-game run there that Arizona had.
No, it's always just a 6-game run.
Well, but I'm just saying, they look competitive, and all of a sudden, towards the end, they just kind of got figured out.
They got hurt.
Well, they got hurt and they got figured out.
When you get hurt, you kind of get figured out because guys can't do crazy shit. You feel me? Because when you look at the roster, like, you can't lose. You should not be losing games with the when you look at their roster top to bottom. The names on that roster, bro, the players, the talent.
Maybe it's not the players. Maybe it's the coaches not adjusting well.
Well, that can be a part of it. I just don't follow them closely enough to blame their coaches.
I mean, because it seemed at points where the running game was successful. Yeah. The passing game was successful. Yeah. Defense was having success. Mm-hmm. So where
Christian Kirk sitting on the sideline is a problem for me.
I hear you.
I mean, that speed, you got to find a way to use it, man. I'm telling you, bro. Like, Christian Kirk, if Black Sheep was here, he'll tell you, we love Christian Kirk.
All right. Beer Buds and Banner want to talk about some Super Bowl.
Yes, sir. Let's bring the energy back up. Before we talk about those trash-ass Lakers. Say that, I'm fucking with that. I love the Lakers.
So, Kamikaze, is it a treat to be seeing two different teams in the Super Bowl this year? We have the Cincinnati Bengals, the first time since 1988. Rams recently.
Let's go Rams.
Recently have been here, but I mean, it's been a few years.
Let's go Rams.
Is there an excitement in the air for you? I mean, there is a representative of the AFC North.
Yeah. You know, that's why I'm saying let's go Rams, because, hey, I don't care if you play for the AFC North. You don't win a championship for the division. You win a championship for your organization.
Once again, the NFL is gifted where an opponent in the Super Bowl is playing in their home turf.
Too bad they're not the home team.
Well, I mean, which is weird. But it's a gift, especially if you're a Los Angeles Rams player. 3 weeks at home.
Well, it still is for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers an out for them to say we're the only home team to have played at the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we still don't know. I mean, things could happen in a week. I don't think the location's going to change, but things can happen.
What? That they're going to change that the NFC going to swap and get the...
Well, I don't know.
They owe the AFC 2 years in a row then.
They absolutely do.
Because...
We have a unsung... Well, I wouldn't say unsung. We have a when it comes to comparing quarterbacks, we have an up-and-comer here in Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, which...
Up-and-coming, bro. He ain't up-and-coming, bro. He playing in the Super Bowl.
Well,
he's here.
He got hurt his first season, and now
he's in a Super Bowl. Joe Burrow is here, bro.
I like to give credit for more than just 1 year, though, Kamikaze.
I cannot let you do this to my boy. Well, not even my boy, because I'm not even supposed to like the kid.
I was going
to say. But he in the Super Bowl, bro.
I've seen quarterbacks get into the Super Bowl before. Jeff Hostetler with the Giants. back in the day.
Did he do it the way Joe did it? Because no, Joe did it with his arm, bro. Like,
no, and I get that.
He ain't riding a defense. He ain't.
Here's a kid that went to Ohio State, sat on the bench, and then transferred to LSU, won a national championship, and now he's got his Cincinnati Bengals for the first time in the Super Bowl. And I'm not
Joe Burrow can say Ohio State is still in his blood. Ain't no Ohio State in that blood because Ohio State quarterbacks don't start in the Super Bowl. Right. I'm just saying, ain't no Ohio State in that blood no more, bro. You straight Tiger. But, you a straight Tiger.
But in Cincinnati's scenario, they need this, Kamikaze. They need this bad.
Okay, how much Los Angeles Rams win.
The Los Angeles Rams, to me, they've got a core that they can win with for the next, I think, couple years.
Nah.
No?
I think Cincinnati has a better chance of getting back in the next couple of years than this Rams team. They're old, bro. Like, they're old on the defensive side.
That's what I'm saying. And it's got to be in the next 2 or 3 years. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not.
Where Cincinnati can bangle this like they always do and have another setback.
So history would tell you.
History would tell you.
Next year the Cincinnati is going to go like 2 and whatever. You feel me? But I trust what I see. And there's something in this Cincinnati Bengals team that I feel like they're going to be competing for years to come. Like the AFC North. It's always been a tough division. It ain't never been easy.
Yeah, I think competition in division brings out a better product.
That's what makes champions, bro. That's why Cincinnati gonna fuck around and win this game.
Going to the opposite side now with the Rams. Obviously, you mentioned this is a Rams Super Bowl. You see them winning.
I want them to win. I don't see them winning. I actually see Cincinnati winning the Super Bowl, honestly.
And I couldn't. We talked about Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, Matthew Stafford with the Rams. We talked earlier before the season started about Matthew Stafford. Does he, in your mind,
move up the ladder?
If he is successful? Now, obviously, getting to the Super Bowl is one thing.
Winning one
the way, I mean, let us granted, it's been a field goal type of playoff where your field goal positioning is winning your game. But Matthew Stafford has thrown the passes to get him down the field.
Well, no. Matthew Stafford's games have been on his arm, a lot of it. So he's not riding anything to the defense except the talent of that team as a whole.
Cam Akers has given him a lot of relief with Sony Michel backing him up. So you can't say that.
Well, I'm just the running game is productive.
Right.
The defense is productive. But what I'm saying is Matthew Stafford isn't one of those quarterbacks that's just along for the ride. He's making the plays, too.
Is he this Super Bowl's Joe Flacco to where you saw he's in the pocket quarterback, correct, most of the time, like Joe was. Joe had the games where you thought, okay, if this play or that play worked out better, Joe would have been there a few more times.
Yeah.
And so when Joe finally
owed Joe at least one more.
Right. Well, okay. But I'm just saying, he got the one, obviously, because things worked out. Matthew Stafford, is he this era's Joe Flacco? Because he had perennial years where he was the reason why that team won in Detroit.
Yeah. But my whole thing with Matt, bro, and why I say that what Matthew Stafford is doing is better than what Joe Flacco did, is because this is his first year in his system. First year with this team, with these receivers, with these guys, in this locker room.
Yeah.
You know, by the time Joe won, he was already a part of a family. You know? Yeah. And that stuff makes a difference, you feel me? Because when you win championships, you play for the guy next to you. You know, you don't win championships by accident. You love each and every person on that team enough to give you everything for them. You know? When you get to the point where you're competing for that championship, Matthew Stafford, his first year with the Rams, you know, that list that we did earlier, and it's before the season, and it's interesting that we did that before this season.
Right.
Because of what's about to occur next week.
Right.
You know, that might have to be reevaluated.
Well, and that's why I brought it up. It was for mainly selfish reasons, because
it might need to be reevaluated.
I was a Matthew Stafford fan, but going to a new team, like you said, working with the receivers, granted, very skilled.
Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods for most of the year. He was really great. Cooper Kupp's fucking phenomenal. OBJ ain't washed. So
Higbee being productive, you know, and you're really seeing the Sean McVay offense kind of just get revitalized. I'm with you as far as the Rams. I feel like the defensive aspect coupled with the offensive skill positions, they have an advantage.
Yeah,
but the
curse of most of them have been there before.
And Matthew Stafford, don't get me wrong, it makes a great story going into what will be a troubling offseason for the NFL.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, it's going to be no matter what.
Yeah, but all of this Brian Flores shit, bro, it's...
So, to me, the Matthew Stafford Rams organization makes the most sense as far as who I think would win, only because you have Joe being so young, Joe having such a great team where he could bounce back, like you said. To me, it's set up for the Rams. They're at home. I'd hate to see them do what the Bucs did last year, but I just don't see any other ending happening. I just think defensively, they have certain attributes that can make things difficult for that offense with the Bengals. I'm not saying it's going to be a low-scoring game. It could be a shootout. But I think at the end, when you look at the defensive skill positions, the Rams have an advantage.
Yeah, well, Cincinnati is young and don't know what the fuck they gotten themselves into, so, and that could be an advantage, and it could be.
But that could be an advantage. You're right, Kamikaze, because they're young. I mean, don't get me wrong. I will probably have to wait a couple episodes. Well, I owe Jamar Chase a big apology because he was to have that type of skill position where you can throw it up and know that you're that is a relief.
He has three games this year where he scored over 200 yards.
And that's my point, Kamikaze. to be in an organization that's had such a rich history with receivers, to go in as a receiver, to break the receiving record, only knowing as an organization, this is my future. You have this player for the next 5 years. I mean, depending on what franchise tags will be at that point, who knows? But, I mean, you have this kid for the next 5 years. He should retire a Bengal.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it goes with Joe, because obviously I was wrong with the organization not drafting an offensive lineman. I did hear...
No, you weren't wrong about the organization not drafting an offensive lineman, because, and this is why I think it's so impressive what Joe Burrow did this year, because he's still one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the league.
He was.
You feel me? He was. And they still need offensive linemen. And the problem is, with these Cincinnati Bengals is, they can only get better if they do what's right. You put a fucking left tackle there that's going to stand up and do his job, Joe is probably the best quarterback in the league at that point.
In an AFC that's, if you're looking at it, if you don't have a top-tier quarterback, you're really not going to be successful. Nah. Because the AFC is gearing up to where it's going to, I think, going to dominate for the next 5 Super Bowls, because if you're looking at the talent you've acquired in that division,
these damn quarterbacks, bro.
I mean, it's
in the AFC alone, our conference, yo. Starting with the West, bro, that shit is already crazy. You got Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and Derek Carr in one division.
Absolutely.
Then you go to the East.
And then you go to the East.
You got Mac Jones, Tua, and Sean gonna be
not to mention you have Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. Forgot about Josh.
Depending on where Deshaun Watson's going to be.
But that's the South.
And then you've got... Well, I'm just saying, between Mahomes, Herbert, Allen, Lamar...
Baker.
You've got what
Burrow.
Don't forget Joe... You've got Mac Jones. You've got the next coming of what we consider to be a quarterback age. The Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady era is coming to an end. We're getting the next era here of great quarterbacks. And to me, Joe is going to be one of those guys if the organization, like you said,
Deal was right.
Does it right. Granted, the Chase
pick. It threw us all for a loop, but it was the right move.
But obviously, looking at this year, it was the right
move. It was the right move.
Going forward,
you still need some offensive linemen, man.
9 sacks against the Tennessee Titans in their playoff game. I mean, don't get wrong.
I don't know how you win that game.
Well, you win it with Joe gutting it out. I mean, Cincinnati in their second half has really been a different team.
Right. And that's why I give Joe his credit. Because I can't take away from a guy that can do that. You feel me? Like, you get knocked around 9 times. I think if my team get 9 sacks, we win a game. We better win that game. Because this quarterback should be scared to drive back and pass this ball. He should be scared to count more than 3 seconds in his head with the ball in his hand. You feel me? And Joe's not, bro. Joe's fucking going to the ground on his 10th sack, still throwing a touchdown.
Well, and that goes to the toughness of Joe. You don't sit at Ohio State with the talent he showed at LSU and in Cincinnati, and then you go to LSU in your 2 years there and you produce the way he does.
Win a national championship.
Win a national championship.
Win a Heisman.
And let's say this. Win a championship convincingly.
Yeah.
They blew out Clemson that year, which Clemson is no jabroni.
They weren't nothing to bat an eye at.
Right. So convincingly winning against a team, not to mention, I believe Justin Jefferson still has the reception record when it comes to that year because Joe Burrow's broke some records.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. They might have went out the next year with Jamar Chase and broke all of those records. Shit.
But I just, the Super Bowl to me, I hope it's not going to be a snoozer. I think it's going to be.
I think this is going to be like a 30 point on the losing side, 40 something on the winning side.
And I think the next 5 years, Comic-Con are kind of going to be a gift to all of us because we're going to see a lot of different teams, I think, in the next 5 years getting in. And you're going to see the monotony that was the Patriots, you know. Teams like that just getting in every year.
Patriots, the Colts.
Right.
Then when he left for Denver.
Well, then that's my point. Like, you're going to see a lot of these up-and-comers coming. Super Bowl, have we covered it? I mean, you picked the Rams. I've picked the Rams.
Officially, yeah, I'm picking the Rams. But I think Cincinnati's going to win.
I'm going to probably watch this when we get done with the show. I wouldn't be a Super Bowl without once again remembering John Madden and the fact that this would probably be Super Bowl moment would be a great moment to bring it up because obviously it's been so long since the Arizona-Pittsburgh game. But once again, John Madden, I'm going to watch the documentary probably after the show, found it on Peacock.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so we can watch it on Peacock. I hope everybody enjoys the Super Bowl. This should be a hell of an event. Not to mention the halftime show should be spectacular.
Halftime show gonna be litty.
The halftime show. Have you been this excited about a halftime show? I mean,
no.
I've got a little age on you, Michael Jackson. To me, at that point of his. His popularity was an exciting moment. Beyonce, we talked about Bruno.
Yeah, Bruno was the last one that I was really excited about. But I'm a huge Bruno Mars fan. Beyonce wasn't nothing to bat an eye at, but she turned off our lights and almost fucking cost us the Super Bowl. But that's probably my favorite one of all time because I was there for that. So.
But we would digress without talking about a Super Bowl, without talking about a famous Super Bowl with a famous halftime show.
Oh, Janet Jackson?
The MTV-produced booby fiasco, as we should probably say it, maybe.
Janet Jackson.
I still thought to me,
her titty.
Entertainment-wise, it was a fantastic show. Nonetheless, the ending. But this is something where I hope this is something you talk to your kids about. Is something that you talk about around the water cooler from Monday to Friday. I want this. These are legends within the hip-hop and R&B game. We have talents of like Eminem, Kendrick Lamar, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Mary J. Blige. Yes. So you're talking about a cornucopia of just immense hip hop and R&B talent. And I think, you know, if you don't haven't surrounded your Super Bowl party around this halftime show, you're missing something. If you're sleeping on this halftime show, Kamikaze, you're going to miss something. Because I think...
We probably going to fire up the grill next week.
Well, fire up the grill is fine. But I'm looking forward to seeing one Snoop Doggy Dogg, one of your boys' favorite artists, performing at a Super Bowl for the first time.
Yeah.
I mean, Snoop Dogg's been around since 88, and this is the first Super Bowl he's ever done. I mean, this is saying something. Dr. Dre, I mean, I don't need to say anything about Dr. Dre.
Eminem, greatest rapper ever.
Greatest producer. Greatest rapper. I wouldn't say rapper. I would say greatest producer. Greatest.
Well, for Dre, yeah. But
of music.
He produces the greatest rapper ever.
Well, I mean, not to mention Dr. Dre's for another show.
Mm-hmm.
But the halftime show, Kamikaze, is just going to be spectacular, and I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm ready for the nostalgia of the 90s music that we're going to get blessed with.
Oh, you think it's going to be 90s?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's going to be a sprinkle.
Well, Snoop and Dre going to give you some 80s, of course, but we definitely going to get the 90s.
I almost think we're going to get something new.
A collab between all of them?
I'm just saying, like, something that we've never seen before. This is a moment as an artist.
I mean, let's see.
I mean, we've talked about this before. Prince doing Purple Rain in the rain with a guitar. It's one of these moments where you can't lose it.
I don't think it's going to touch anything Prince could have done. It's definitely not going to touch anything Michael Jackson could have done. But it's going to be up there where we're going to be talking about it in the likes of those types of performances.
My hope, Kamikaze, is that this is like top five. This to me, if you're Los Angeles, this screams perfection.
Speaking of Los Angeles, do we go into these Lakers?
Do we go into the Lakers? Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Cap off that Super Bowl talk. We both picked the Rams. I'm going to take it at a score of like 42-36. I think it's going to be a high scoring Super Bowl.
I am going to counterbalance you. I'm going to go with a 30-14 victory for the Rams.
Blowout.
Well, I think defensively they're going to do a few things. Joe is going to have to win the Super Bowl to make this happen.
Yeah, of course.
It's not going to be a defensive play. I don't think it's going to be running game. Joe's going to have to go out and win this game if he's going to win it. To me, Matthew Stafford has all the answers. This is
it's called Select C all the time. C stands for Cooper Kupp.
Not to mention, if you're Matthew Stafford,
Cam Akers,
are you not calling Eminem to celebrate with after the Super Bowl? If that is what's going to happen,
I mean, I'm just saying it's the closest Detroit ever going to get.
It's
to
the
Super Bowl.
Closest Detroit's ever going to come to that. So.
Chris Jericho didn't want to stop.
Chris Jericho never wants to stop.
But, all right, we are back. I still need to ask Chris Jericho permission to do what I'm doing.
Well, we're going to ask him. I mean, obviously, your Twitter buddies. Transitioning from L.A. Super Bowl to L.A. basketball.
Okay.
All right, we're going to talk about the L.A. Lakers and their game last night against the New York Knicks, which we came out with the dub.
1 of few. Yeah, I would say.
1 of few, but
it's a dub.
You saw a rested 5-day LeBron James kamikaze.
Come out with a 29-point triple-double.
Come out
Malik
with
Malik Monk with 29 points. Anthony Davis with 29 and 17.
Like it. Against the Knicks team, which statistically, you know, playoff bound in the East, right? Should kamikaze. Be. I mean, so not a bum. Not, you know, nobody we shouldn't be able to beat. But what we saw kamikaze is a rested LeBron James going there with a non Russell Westbrook LA Laker team, which I pride Frank Vogel for finally, this is not the first benching of Russell Westbrook. But the fact that we get it once again just proves the fact that kamikaze, we need to get fucking rid of Russell Westbrook.
We need to start Malik Monk. My boys outscored the Knicks in the third quarter, bro. He had 18, they had 13.
Well, I thought this was an organization that believed in getting points off the bench. If Russell's a problem as a starter, then put him in as a bench player and let him come work off the bench. Yep. I mean, at this point, Malik Monk has earned the right to start. I mean, granted,
he started hitting an attitude, but I feel like we should be starting him perennially and sitting Russell Westbrook. Melo should be a starter. And then Westbrook can provide the little spark, the energy off the bench, bro.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you, it will be way more effective than trying to play him as a starter.
Melo has been that guy that's gotten points off the bench, and I feel like Russell transitioning to the bench is the answer we need. Now, here's the other thing, kamikaze, is rest for the LA Lakers. Anthony Davis has been coming out lately and has been producing like the Anthony Davis we thought we were purchasing, kamikaze.
First guy with 25 points and 15 rebounds in 3 straight games since Shaquille O'Neal.
So, we are at this
point. Street closes back.
Street closes back for now.
For now.
After a hefty layoff, nonetheless. Now, granted, we still have to deal with the West come playoff time. But do you think, kamikaze, that rest is just what the Lakers need? Or do we need to, I mean, is free agency over?
Free agency?
For NBA?
Like, what do you mean free agency?
For, like, I thought there was a trade deadline coming up soon.
Yeah, but you can sign players all year.
So, is this something, I mean, at this point in my Russell Westbrook experience, I feel like this is just something that we need to make a deal with, eat a little contract, and then once we're done eating the little bit of the contract that we need to do, or probably a lot, I mean, we're not going to be gifting anybody Russell Westbrook in a trade unless it's somebody that really...
Shit, I'd take a bag of chips for Russell Westbrook. Because at this point, the only issue is having him. When he's on the bench, we're a better team.
And that's the problem.
So we don't need to add to the team. We just need to get him off the team.
I mean, there's got to be trade bait. I mean, there's...
What?
I mean... I hate to beat a dead horse, but Philadelphia's looking for a trade partner. And I'm not saying Ben Simmons is an answer, but to...
Simmons knows who he is.
Relinquish Westbrook to the 76ers and let him do what he does for them.
If you know you can't make a three, don't shoot a three. But clearly, Ben Simmons knows he can't make a three. So
this is my point. Defensively, he fits Frank Vogel's scheme. Great pass.
I'm not knocking the Ben Simmons thing right now. Right now, I'm open to bringing in Ben Simmons.
Well, I just feel like it's two peas in a pod. The Sixers want to get off of him. The Lakers obviously want to move away from Russell Westbrook with the continuing success of benching. I feel like it's two organizations that can help each other. Granted, we might have to eat a little bit. But I feel like Ben Simmons, if we're getting what we want from Benson, which is playing defense, passing the ball, and being an inside scorer. I feel like that's what we could utilize. Malik Monk obviously being presented into the starting lineup a little more promotes his confidence and promotes our ability to shoot the ball. Granted, we're going to have to get into a little bit of a rest here. So we're going to have to get into like a fourth or a fifth or a sixth seed before we start sliding again during our second tier rest.
Yeah, because we ain't going to get no rest if we're in the playing tournament.
And that's my point, is we need to get rest now. Because
rest.
At this point, it's just been working.
Yeah.
It's just been working. When we've been getting guys rest, I mean, obviously, Anthony Davis, with a hefty layoff, is now producing, being healthy.
Yeah, I'm still worried about a fucking
Street clothes. We can't not sleep on street clothes, because eventually this will happen again. It's just being in that company. You know, Anthony Davis is going to get hurt. It's inevitable. Okay. But to give him the rest he requires.
But if he get hurt before the playoffs and then come back during the playoffs, oh, we got a chance.
Well, we only if we can get him right before, only to give him the 3 to 5 game rust off. Right,
we gotta be in the playoffs at that point. So,
but
I feel like we need him to make the playoffs.
At this point, is it comparable to have a LeBron James, not a dismissal, but in the next 2 years, do we figure out what we're going to do with LeBron James to make to
LeBron? I would trade LeBron now.
Well, I'm going to say at this point in his career, you're going to acquire the most you will probably for LeBron James. I mean, Cleveland's going to give you the shirt off their back.
Give me an unprotected first.
No, I'm not going to give a player for a player.
I said give me an unprotected first.
You're talking about one player for LeBron James. Yeah. I'm talking about an Anthony Davis type of deal.
LeBron?
For LeBron. The type of deal that we gave the Pelicans for Anthony Davis. I'm talking about
the Lakers are stupid.
What?
We traded for Russell Westbrook. Nobody else is doing the deal we did with the Pelicans for AD. AD we got is the AD he was in New Orleans. And for some reason, they thought, oh, we're going to get him with LeBron. LeBron going to get him on his routine. And it's going to make a difference.
You're telling me that a not necessarily a Suns, but let's say a Magic team. You're telling me you can't get Cole Anthony and a Suggs for LeBron James with two first-round draft picks?
You might.
Bringing
from
LeBron,
Orlando team, but I don't want to disrespect Orlando's front office because
Let's not pick them. Let's say Charlotte Hornets. You're probably not going to get LaMelo, but you'll probably get somebody.
You think Mike wants AD on his team?
All I'm saying is that
Mike ain't signing off on that. Bro.
We gotta
find a different team.
We need to
and
have
maybe Atlanta.
I'm just saying we just need to have a conversation. If LeBron James, and I'm not saying this is his rhetoric, he wants to elongate his career to play with his son. That's what I'm getting at as far as things I've heard throughout the season.
Me too.
He wants to elongate his career so he can play with his kid. I get that. At this point in his career, the stock is as high as it can be right now with LeBron James. All I'm saying is that let's entertain some things. Let's talk to LeBron. He could still always be a part of Laker history because obviously he's won a dub here. He's won his championship here. He's played here. I mean, he's going to be a part of it. What is your elongated history going to be? We can give him a piece of the pie and just wish him his best. Obviously, there are going to be teams lining up to sign him. Let's just get what we can because at this point, it is a very young man's NBA, Kamikaze. And to get the kind of talent we need to be in that 1 to 10 range. And it's not an unfortunate thing that we can sometimes go into a playoff scenario, but at that point, we're picking later unless there's a certain acquisition, players, trades, things like that. As a Laker organization, I just think we need to start just entertaining, just hearing things. Yeah. I love LeBron James, but I want to, if this is what
I
we're
love
seeing.
The Los Angeles Lakers.
I love the Los Angeles Lakers more.
Right.
So I just want to see something gifted to them before this whole shitstorm, because it comes to, you know, the end. Because it's going to come to the end. Carmelo Anthony's not going to be here forever.
Let's hope not.
You know, Trevor Ariza, however entertaining and tantalizing it was in the trade.
He made a big play last year. I mean, last night.
He made a big play. He made a one big play. All I'm saying is that the organization needs a shakeup. And if it takes a LeBron James trade, if it's the right one, we need to entertain it. And I hate to say that. I love the King. I love LeBron James.
I love championships more.
I like championships more. And if it takes me getting an opportunity to draft a Morant, or not necessarily your favorite player, but a certain type of European player that's going to produce for me, I want to be able to do that. And the Lakers organization has been handcuffed.
I'm not against European players. I'm just against Luka.
And that's why I didn't against Luka. I just said European players. But all I'm saying is that it just seems every year, for a while here, we've been handcuffed with bad deals and giving away first-round draft picks and making trades that don't necessarily work out for a long run, more of a short run.
Yeah, the Anthony trade, we won a championship with Anthony Davis. That trade worked out. I don't hate that trade as much as I used to hate that trade. You remember when that trade came across the line? I was pissed.
But it was a lot to give up for a player.
But I don't hate that trade as much, because I've experienced joy with that trade. This Russell Westbrook trade, when it came across the whole idea of it, when that came up, I was like, no. When Adrian Wojnarowski confirmed that it was happening, I was like, no. We get into the season, we still like, no. This trade is not working out. And we gave up first round picks for this.
Are you upset more because of, obviously, the trade? Or are you more upset of the stories we heard after of certain players having an opportunity to be an acquisition from the Lakers, or players that were let go from an organization after finding out that they wanted to stay?
Yeah. So it's the latter, the second part, the other stuff. Because if Russell Westbrook was in goal, you feel me? I can find a reason why you go and trade for us, Westbrook. When you had an opportunity to get Buddy Hield, you know, you had an opportunity to keep Alex Caruso, who is hurt right now, which, you know, maybe not, he don't get hurt if he's with the Lakers, you know. But, you know, the type of player he is, you know what you're getting, you know he fits with LeBron.
He's performed well, he plays defense. He accepts his role. Yeah. Could have got a
Tyrese Halliburton.
Could have had a little Mar DeRozan.
Could have had DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan.
Kyle Lowry would have came if DeRozan would have came.
And these are the stories you hear about. And and granted, we love Rob Pelinka when we made this Anthony Davis trade to a point.
I know.
Because he gave us the dub.
I loved Rob Pelinka when I seen us holding a championship in there.
With the team he put together.
Right. But it wasn't because of the Anthony Davis trade. It was because it worked.
Well, it worked.
Because even that throughout that year, I was still giving Rob Pelinka hell.
Well, granted, I mean, they had the rest they needed.
Yeah, well.
They had a break from the season, and they had a season, and they had a break, and they had a 9-game thing, and then they, you know, did the bubble, and, you know.
Your key to success? Rest.
At this point.
That's how we won it last.
Because at this point, we're stuck with Anthony Davis. We're stuck with
him. It is what it is.
We're stuck with
him. 5 years. Supermax.
LeBron, to me, is the biggest chip we have. There's enough teams out there to go crazy over it.
If we trade LeBron and Westbrook as a package, that could work. And that can give us the type of deal where we could be looking at like 3 first-round picks to recoup what we've already lost. You know, and then, you know, you throw in some players to replace them.
Well, not to mention the capital now, because you're not drenched in debt when it comes to paying big names like LeBron and rest. I feel like in that deal, we probably set the
Russell Westbrook's contract was always a problem. It was never going to work out with Russell Westbrook under that contract. Because who the hell is we going to fucking add to take us over that edge if we do fall short? You know?
I just feel like Russell Westbrook never really checked off the boxes we needed when it came to shooters. I feel like we had potential scores.
And it's crazy because Malik Monk checks off the boxes.
Well, no.
Carmelo Anthony checks off the boxes.
Well, those were acquisitions we made after the Russell Westbrook trade.
Right.
But I'm just saying.
Those are guys we still could have brought in.
Absolutely.
With Buddy Hield, who would have checked off the box.
Absolutely would have been.
With the Tyrese Halliburton, who would have checked off the box.
DeRozan would have checked off the box.
Checks off the box. Kyle Lowry checks off the box.
I just think DeRozan would have made just way more sense, and it's shocking me. He has size. He has scoring ability. I feel like he has ability to play defense.
Problem is, him and LeBron play the same position, realistically.
Realistically, even though LeBron brings the ball up and...
Exactly. But listed on the lineup, him and LeBron play the same
position. Imagine having him as your small forward and then...
LeBron as your point guard.
And then bringing Kyle off the bench. And those are the deals you look at.
Or you move LeBron to power forward. You let AD play five, which he has played a lot of five this year. You know, you let AD play five. You got Kyle Lowry at one. Malik Monk at two. You got DeRozan at three. Bron at four. AD at five. Bro, that's starting lineup right there, bro.
And see, now you're talking.
It don't matter who coming off the bench, bro.
Now you're talking. I think at some points AD...
You got Melo coming off the bench.
And these are things we obviously found out after the trade. But to me, it just needs to happen. It just needs to happen. We need to entertain ideas. Granted that the Lakers had played great last night, but this is your selling point.
But they didn't play great last night because we went into overtime with the Knicks. Like,
why do you say it like that?
It's the Knicks, bro. Like, who's scared of the Knicks?
I mean, you're talking about
if you say we went to overtime and we pulled out a win against Golden State or Phoenix or Brooklyn or Milwaukee. I'm with all of that.
But we beat Brooklyn.
Yes, we did beat Brooklyn.
We beat Brooklyn.
Yeah, but did we beat Brooklyn or did we beat Brooklyn?
Yeah, but we beat a Brooklyn team without KD. We beat a
Brooklyn
playoff.
Team without Kyrie.
We beat a playoff Knicks roster that. Supposedly, it got a little better.
And they're not. Knicks are not trash. That's not what I'm saying about the Knicks.
Knicks are not trash.
Knicks are not trash. They got some good players over there. They got some players I really like over there. You know, but it's just, you know, my boy RJ over there. He had a big three to send us in the overtime. So, you know.
But if I've got a LeBron James getting a how many point triple-double?
A 29-point triple-double.
29 points.
Three players for us scored 29 points.
Right.
Not one of them was Russell Westbrook.
At
just saying.
This point, you're going to get max value for that.
Yeah.
And that is just my point. And I hate to make it my point.
We got a chance to win a championship this year?
We do not. Okay. Only because the inconsistency of the health of our players. Now, granted, if we got on a roll... And Russell Westbrook would stop taking game-winning three-point shots.
Kick it out to Malik. Man, kick it out to the rook for me, bro. Like, Austin Reeves would hit that shot before Russell Westbrook.
I feel like we banked on the Russell Westbrook that we saw with the Washington Bullets, which was successful. He was producing.
I love that you still call them the Bullets.
Right.
The Wizards.
The Wizards? I thought they changed the Bullets.
They changed from the Bullets to the Wizards.
Was it this year?
No, they've been the Wizards. Washington is the Wizards.
Bullets sound so bad.
It's so better. So bad. That's Baltimore, so.
Anywho.
They had to get away from that.
And I hate to make that my point, but it is. I hate it.
Hey, that's why I'm not a Wizards fan. When you leave Baltimore, you can't get my love.
My heart's in Chicago and with the Wizards because our two youngest players that were on our organization as Lakers are there and they're doing well and they should be doing well for us, and it breaks my heart. So,
well, it's Washington, not Chicago.
Well, Chicago has Alex.
Well, oh, you're talking about the Bulls.
Yeah.
You said the Wizards.
Well, Wizards have Kyle.
Yeah. Well, oh, Chicago and the Wizards.
Well, I'm okay, just saying.
That's what you're saying. Well, they got Lonzo, too, over there in Chicago, too.
And it's just sad because you're looking at all those pieces now.
That we could have had.
That we had. Well, not. Okay, let's go without saying. There were better selections could have been made than Lonzo, but having Lonzo now isn't a bad idea.
If you gave Lonzo a chance to develop, if then you got the player that you wanted.
No,
because he became exactly what we wanted. And he does something point guards just don't do no more. He plays fucking defense, bro.
And in a Frank Vogel system, it would have worked out great.
Who is our coach? Yeah. Frank Vogel.
If you look at the first round draft picks and just our draft picks alone, it fits Frank to a T, and the fact that we relinquished those is just sad. It's just sad.
Yeah. Well, if we would have started Kyle Kuzma this year, it would be a different story.
If we had Kyle Kuzma this year, it would be a different story.
Too bad. He's still my number zero.
That's right. Still number zero.
Fuck Russell Westbrook.
All right.
No, it ain't fuck Russell Westbrook. You still play for the Lakers, but God damn it, motherfucker, we need to get better. I don't think we're a championship team this year either. I'm still going to watch the Lakers games, though, because that's my squad. But
well, we look too good on TV to not watch us. Okay. And we still have one of the greatest players in NBA history playing for us.
LeBron James. So. And then when you got LeBron James, you'd be surprised what the fuck can happen. So.
Well, and that's the gift of LeBron James. And that's the gift I want to give to another team for the right
price.
For the right price.
Give us that. All right. Well, we're going to close this show. It's been a pleasure getting back with the Bear Buds today. Thanks, bro.
March 3rd, TCW event.
4th.
March 4th. We will be there, hopefully. Just want to let everybody know. TCW, March
Thunder
4th.
Championship Wrestling. Ah, star scene on AEW. So, yeah. That's what we're about.
Shout out to John Madden.
Shout out to Brian Flores.
Shout out to Brian Flores.
Shout out to Frank Vogel for benching Russell Westbrook last night.
Shout out to Frank Vogel. Good call on that.
Shout out to Lupton, because we mentioned you earlier.
Wait. Shout out to your boy that's doing the Jose Canseco thing.
Yeah, that's Chris Lupton.
Chris Lupton.
Lupton Sports. Yeah, I like that man.
Shout out to Charm City. Sorry we couldn't do it this year, but maybe next year.
Yeah, well, I mean, Charm City, we wanted to start talking about that schedule. But shout out to our boy Nick. We love him.
Shout out to Black Sheep. He could not be here tonight.
But he will be here next time because I'm going to drag him by his motherfucking sheepy ear.
I'm going to shave his ass. I'm going to bet him for his beard.
Shout out to Chris Jericho for this awesome song we're going to end it with.
Shout out to Chris Jericho.
And Fozzy.
We don't make money off the show, so I hope you can't sue us for anything.
We got shit. You can't sue us. We ain't making nothing.
We ain't making no money off
but
the show.
But I'm definitely going to come and ask him for a permission so that we don't get sued.
Yes.
Because I didn't think Fox was going to try to sue us, but, I mean, cease and desist. What if I become? Now that I'm betrayed. Is the one I've had to love and push them all away? My mind.